house of the Lord on this Palm Sunday. We have a full house, fullest that I've seen in a while, so it's good to see everybody. And Lord, we just praise you and we bless you and we honor you on this Palm Sunday. And Lord, we are here to celebrate you. We're here to remember you. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit, we welcome your Spirit here. And Lord, you are the author of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would anoint your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it is declared. Lord, come and inhabit the praises of your people. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord, what your Spirit is saying to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's prepare our heart to worship with the prelude. Gordy Showalter is going to lead us off with that. It's taken from Psalm 118, verses 21 through 25.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. If you're able, please remain standing. We're going to sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, and go right into We Will Glorify. Father, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you. Father, we thank you for the crisp blue skies. We thank you, Jesus, for the red buds that are coming out, the flowers. Lord, we just give you all glory, all honor and praise for the changes of seasons. And Lord, great is your faithfulness. And we praise you and we bless you. Lord, we remember those that were hit by the storms, those in Mississippi, those in Tennessee, those in Arkansas and Iowa and Illinois, God, north of us. And Jesus, we ask for your grace, your comfort, your peace, and your provision to be upon those that have lost belongings and, Lord, lost their lives. God, we just ask for your mercy and your comfort to surround them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we remember those who are grieving this morning. The Martha Dean's daughter-in-law, Tracy, Jimmy Dean's wife, who they're grieving, and the Fred Foster family and the Carolyn Porter family. Father, we just ask your comfort to be upon those families. Lord, your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Lord, I pray that you would just surround them with your comfort and with your peace. God, we just ask your mercy on them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Librand, how he got a good report this week, and we give you, Lord, we just thank you for how far Librand has come. And Lord, we pray continued grace and mercy upon him in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Mary Cruz. Lord, we just thank you for Mary. We're so thankful for Mary and all that she means to this church. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, we pray good reports for her. I pray encouragement for Mary. And Lord, we just bless her and we pray peace and good reports, good physical reports for Mary in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Nolan, Gordy's son. And Lord, Nolan needs you, Jesus. And I pray that you would bless him, that you would deliver him. We ask peace in Jesus' name. deliverance on him, Lord, comfort over his mind, and Lord, mercy, mercy on Nolan in Jesus' name. We pray for Ben Mathis, Pam Pereira's great nephew, heart issues, Lord, we pray blessings on Ben, encouragement on Ben, healing on grandnephew, Lord, just blessings on Ben in Jesus' name. We pray for JP, Jeremy Packer, been praying for JP and that horrible accident that he had, and Lord, he is struggling right now, and we ask peace on his mind, peace over his body, and Lord, bless JP in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. That's who you are, that you are the faithful one, that you are the true one, that you are the holy one, and you are the worthy one. We thank you for this season. We thank you, Jesus, that you came. You left glory and you came. And not only did you come, but Lord, you lived a holy, blameless life, and you were obedient to death, even death on a cross, because you love us and you want a relationship with us. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your kindness, for your graciousness. You are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we just want to say we love you, Jesus. We love you. And we're thankful for you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. We pray, Jesus, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Lord, we thank you for the faithful givers of this church. And Lord, we lift these gifts up to you. We ask for you to bless them and to give wisdom in the administration of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand if you're able. We're going to sing the doxology. Gospel lesson for us, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey that's tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" Crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
You're free to remain standing. You may be seated if you'd like. We're going to sing the hymn, "Jesus." talking about the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. That's in the context of anxiety and fear and worry. And he's talking about don't be anxious. And if we seek first his kingdom, all of these things will be added to us. And that the Lord highlighted that verse to me a while ago, and I've just been meditating a lot on the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Seek first my kingdom. It's a beautiful promise. I'm going to read that because it's such a beautiful promise. And if we were all honest this morning, all of us want peace, don't we? We want peace. We want peace of mind. We want peace of soul. We long for that in a world that's spinning like a top. And it just feels like everybody's whirling around in anxiety and fear and unsettledness. And there's so much fear and there's so much anxiety. And if we could just have peace, we really, really, really want that. And so it's a beautiful promise for us. But I'm going to look at it. Matthew, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Some of us think we could get a PhD by our worry, don't we? We're so anxious and we're so worried, but look at that. So good. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, this is your word. Lord, you've given me a word today. I pray, Lord, for courage and boldness. You did not give me a spirit of intimidation, but a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Father, I pray you would come, that your Holy Spirit would anoint your word. Lord, you would anoint me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I give you all of my thoughts, all of, Lord, everything, Lord, I've planned to say. I just give it to you. May I only say what you want me to say. I ask you for courage. I ask you for boldness. I ask you for anointing. Spirit of God, come. Speak to us today. Eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. If we're going to follow this promise, you have to know what the kingdom of God is. Seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What is the kingdom? What is that? What is it? If you look at Jesus' first sermon, Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. That is the word that Jesus came preaching. John the Baptist started it. He was preaching it first, and Jesus came right along. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? What does that look like? The kingdom of God. And I want us to think about for just a second what the Jews in the first century were thinking about when they thought about the kingdom of God. They had these beautiful promises in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds they are healed. Isaiah 53. There were promises in Isaiah 61. I'll get to that in a second. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. They had these promises, and they were waiting for the Messiah to come and fulfill them. And what were they anticipating when the Messiah came? You look back on the history, the Jews in the first century were under Roman rule, and they thought the Messiah was going to come and throw off the dictators. They thought that when Messiah came, that they were going to go back to the glory days. They were going to go back to how great it was, like when Solomon was king. The temple was going to be restored. The temple in the glory days, the king was going to come, and they were going to be this great nation and rule over the whole known world at the time. That's what they thought. Go back to the glory days, back to what it used to be. And again, they thought it was going to be a political king, and they had a lens through which they thought Messiah was going to come. And all of us need to be aware of the lens that we have. When we come to Scripture, we have a lens that we see it through. And we need to be honest about what that is, because all of us have that. And the fancy term for that is a hermeneutic. We have a lens through which we view Scripture. And so that's what they were thinking. Oh, the Messiah is going to come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yes, we're going to throw off our political oppressors, and we're going to be free again, and we're going to go back to the way that it was. That's what they were thinking. That's what they thought. And yet, as Jesus came and he's preaching about the kingdom, is that really what happened? They had these expectations, and it's not quite what they thought it was going to be. Because first of all, Jesus is coming. He's come. Matthew chapter 4, and it says this. He has his 12 disciples. He went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction among the people. When the kingdom of God came, there was power. There was authority. There were demons that were cast out. There were healings and there were deliverances. It wasn't just something passive. Go into the synagogue, sing a nice song, and go on your way. Whoa, when the kingdom of God is at hand, there's power and there's authority and something happened. There's a clash of kingdoms and there's something that happens. He healed all that had diseases, every affliction among the people. And it says it again in Matthew 9:35. That was Matthew 4:23, and again in Matthew 9. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. That's what happens when the kingdom of God comes. There's power and there's authority. What else happens when the kingdom of God comes? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to his hometown synagogue. Matthew 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. It's Isaiah 61. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. That same, you read down a little bit further, Jesus gets thrown out of his hometown synagogue, out of his hometown. You know why? Because they wanted a Messiah that was going to be for them. And when Jesus is like, "Hey, it's bigger than you all," it made them mad. And they threw him out of town. So when the Messiah comes, he kind of disrupts some things, doesn't he? He starts messing with our idols, starts messing with what we think the kingdom of God is about. Because if we're honest, sometimes we make our lives, we make church about our own personal little kingdoms. But when the kingdom of God is at hand, that means the king has come. The king has come. And Jesus, his ministry was one of power. And he's healing people, he's delivering people. And what else happens? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There's power in actions, but there's also power in his word. I touched on this a while recently, but Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he takes the law. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Whoa, Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's taken the law and says, the law says this, but I say this. Say what? Who do you think you are, Jesus? You're messing with the law of Moses. Matthew chapter 5, a few verses down, verse 27. You have, Matthew 5, 38. You've heard it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who's evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wait a second, Jesus. Moses said we didn't have to do that. Jesus is like, yep, I'm up in the ante here. And he continues. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Who does Jesus think he is? And when he finishes the Sermon on the Mount, when he finishes it, it says in Matthew 7, verse 28, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Whoa. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. There was power and authority when Jesus came. There was casting out of devils. There was healing of diseases, not just some diseases, but healing of all diseases and all affliction. And when he preaches and he delivers the word of God, he's taking the law of Moses and he's up in the ante on it. You said this, or it's written this, but I say to you, whoa, Jesus, what are you doing? I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. The people are amazed. But what about the scribes and Pharisees? Most of them are ticked. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Who do you think you are? And the harshest things that Jesus had to say to anybody, who did he say it about? He said it to the religious leaders of the day. Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also appear outwardly righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you are like whitewashed tombs. You all, that took guts. What in the world is Jesus doing? What's he going after? When the kingdom of God comes, there's power. When the kingdom of God comes, there's authority. When the kingdom of God comes, it's holiness. It's holiness. It's authority. It's exalting the word of God. And it upsets those that are living in darkness. Seek ye first. Things will be added unto you. a political king, a kingdom. They thought it was coming to make their lives better. But when Jesus came, it wasn't what they thought it was. Jesus came to do something so much bigger than what they thought. They had these expectations. And that day, when Jesus fulfilled Zechariah 9:9 on riding into Jerusalem, they thought, yes, this other stuff has been interesting. It's been not really what we wanted. But now he's going to do it. Now he's going to fulfill what we want him to do. And I want to read to you Zechariah 9:9, because this would have so been in their minds. It was a fulfillment. What happened that day on Palm Sunday was a fulfillment of that passage of Scripture. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. They thought it was for them. But the prophecy of what he was doing was so much bigger. And those that were rejoicing, laying the palm branches for him, thinking they were crowning him as king, and he was going to come and do what they wanted him to do. Has he done that in his whole ministry? No, it's always been bigger than that, but they didn't see it. I used to make fun of the disciples. Like, good night, you guys are dead. The kingdom of God was one thing, and so do we. We make the kingdom of God, if we think about it at all, we think about the kingdom of God as our church. It's building our programs. It's going back to the glory days. It's going back to what we used to be, what we used to do. And we think about it in terms of a building. We think about it in terms of programs. We think about it in terms of what we do. But is that what the kingdom of God is? Those that were rejoicing that day on Palm Sunday, just 5 days later, 5 days later. I've preached this before, but upon further reflection, I don't think it's true. I used to preach that they were rejoicing on Palm Sunday. 5 days later, they were yelling to crucify him. But I think the truth of the matter is, those that were rejoicing on Palm Sunday did nothing. They did nothing when the crowd was saying, crucify him. No one came and stood up for Jesus. They were too afraid of the crowd. They were afraid of what people thought of them. And they did nothing. They did nothing. But they let the chief priests and the elders and the rulers that Jesus had made angry by his statements. They did nothing. Well, they let everything play out. They stood there and they said nothing. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In Luke's story of the triumphal entry, Luke chapter 19, the crowd waving palm branches, the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, the king is coming. They thought he was going to come and fulfill their expectations. What does Jesus do in that? Luke chapter 19. Worshiping. Luke 19:38. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're getting a little too excited. We don't like this shouting, this praising, this raising the hand stuff, this dancing. We don't, that's too much. We're being a little too much. Shh." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." It's not silent tears. It's not just tears. He was wailing, sobbing, crying. "Would that you even knew, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." They were so caught up in themselves and what they wanted and their expectations that they missed Jesus when he came. And the judgment of the Lord was going to come upon them. And Jesus was weeping because he wanted them. He wanted to draw them in. He wanted to draw them in. The very next thing Jesus does, what does he do? He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." His kingdom. They thought it was one thing, but it was so much bigger than that. They made it about themselves. They made it about their traditions, and they missed him. And he comes in and he cleanses the temple. And on this Palm Sunday, on this day that we remember, that day, we remember it. I want us to remember what really the kingdom of God is all about. Because we are just like those disciples. We are just like those people. We make the kingdom about us, about what we want, about what our traditions, the things we want to hold on to, about our buildings, about whatever it is. We make it about us. And Jesus came, and his kingdom is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a building. It's more than just a church. It's us, his disciples, filled with his life, filled with his glory, so we can share it with other people. I was struck by this passage. I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. But Matthew chapter 24, it's kind of like Matthew chapter 6, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says this, Matthew 24, 14, "This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So many denominations, so many groups make it about the gospel of their tradition. we make it about us and our tradition, but it's the gospel of the kingdom, the rule and reign of Jesus. It's him. So many of us want the kingdom. We want the trappings, but we don't want the king. And Jesus the king came, and it rocked their boat. It rocked their traditions. It rocked. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It was offensive. It stepped on their toes, because that's what the gospel does. Because Jesus is after our hearts. He's after those things in us that exalt themselves above him. And when Jesus came, he was a servant. He didn't come to serve. He came. He didn't want us to bow down before him when he came. He came to serve. He came to rule and reign from the cross. He didn't come to overthrow. He's going to do that. When he comes back, you better believe it. He's going to make everything right, and he's going to set things right, and he's going to trample all of the evil things. He's going to trample all that down. But when he came the first time, he rules and reigns from the cross. He came to serve. He came to die. He came kingdom of God. It's the rule and reign of Jesus. What are those things in your life that exalt themselves above Jesus? What are those things? He wants to deal with those things. Because if we seek him first and his kingdom, you all, we're going to have peace. And when things around us are crazy, we're going to have peace. And we're going to have joy. And he's going to surround us because he's within us. And the kingdom of God is within us. It's amazing. Do you know the kingdom of God, if you believe Jesus Christ, died on the cross and rose again, he's living inside of you? The kingdom of God is inside of you. And he wants to come out. Your neighbors need to see it. People in the grocery store need to see it. Your family needs to see it. Let it shine. Let it come out. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that today you would search our hearts. What we thought the kingdom of God was, things we seek after, things we long for, and it's not you. Father, forgive us for those idols in our heart. You came to serve. You washed their feet. You died on the cross. You confronted their idols. Because you want us. You want our heart. And Lord, as we enter into Holy Week, I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes more than you've ever done, that we would see the beauty of who you are, the humility with which you came and you suffered and you died. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to usher in the kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I pray we would really grow in our understanding of what that is. You give us revelation of the kingdom of God within you. We would really have an understanding of what that looks like, of what that means. Lord, the world is dying because they need to see. They need to see you, a Savior who died for them, a Savior who loves them, a Savior who came to die because he wanted to seek and save those who were lost. I pray we would be that kind of people. Help us to see with your eyes. We need you, Jesus. We need you. Forgive us for making idols out of things that are not important. Forgive us for our idolatry. And give us undivided hearts to love you and serve you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing Beneath the Cross of Jesus. May this be our vision. May this be what we see. Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And we'll continue with verses 3 and 4. 320 in the blue hymnal. It's the blue one. 320. Sorry about that. We lost our feet. 320, verse 3. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that that would be our vision, that we would stand beneath the cross of Jesus, that you would be our focus, that you would be our vision, that truly we would seek forth, we would seek your kingdom, your rule, your reign, that we would lay down, Lord, those things that we need to lay down, and we would love you and follow you, run after you all the days. I bless your people with peace. And Lord, lead us on for your glory's sake. May we be your vessels in a dry and weary land. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd love to pray for you. It's Ridge Place Postlude, and you're welcome to go down. We're going to have some coffee and donuts. You're welcome to go down there and visit after the service as well. Bless you.